Good morning, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Good. How y'all doing?
Well, we're doing just fine for a beautiful Monday morning and able to speak to you, sir. So, you know, this is a great morning for us. So, how many do you have for us, sir?
We have four today.
Okay, well, that's what we show as well, and we'll be ready to get started whenever you bring someone in, sir.
All right, give me a quick minute. I'll bring
inmate
Matt
back in. Okay, well, we'll be waiting at that time, sir.
That's fine.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm the opener today.
Yes, sir, you're the opener. You have to have a no-hitter. So, if you won't get a chance to do the no-hitter at the beginning, of course, that will go to the Honorable Mr.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I've been better.
Yes, sir. Well, we'll go forward, and we'll just before we're not on record yet, but what is your name, sir?
Timothy Allen Freeman.
Okay, Mr. Freeman, I believe that the Honorable Mr. Ray Kiwanis will be conducting your hearing, or will serve as the lead panelist for your hearing this morning, and the next rush you will hear will be that of the Honorable Mr. Ray Kiwanis. So please, hold on, sir.
Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Can you state your name and ABC number for the record?
Timothy Allen Freeman, 173450.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation. Pardon me, gotta find my mouth this morning. The one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on what looks to be May 21st, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing your attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
I have to. Unable to be able to contact an attorney, I wasn't given the proper material by DOC.
Okay, well, let's have a quick discussion about that. I'll state this again. You have the right to hire, at your expense, a lawyer to represent you. If you want an attorney, that is a right of yours to hire one. It's not a case where one is appointed to you by the government. But if this is something that you wish to have at your hearing, we can continue, that is to say, delay this hearing so that you may seek counsel or hire counsel. So what is your choice today, sir?
I'd like to go ahead and move forward with the hearing.
Thank you, sir. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing today. If you can see us on your video conference screen. I'll begin with me because I'm the individual sitting closest to you. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. My name is Louis Quinones. Continuing away from my right, we have the Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. We have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and at the opposite end of the bench, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. Also present in the room is our Community Corrections Officer, Mr. Westby, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in, so Mr. Freeman and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and so you affirm?
I do.
Thank you. So this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding whether your supervision should be continued or revoked. Now keep in mind, if you have not sat before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency before, it should be noted that there's a vote that happens that passes phase one to phase two. So should we come to that vote, don't be alarmed, it's a part of the hearing. And okay. That breaks phase one from phase two. So when I read the allegation to you, we need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. You understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision or have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal management company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number eight is demonstrated by you knowingly associating with Cassidy Curse as she removed merchandise from the shelf at Walmart without paying for them on or about April 21st, 2018. Mr. Freeman, is this true or false?
It's false, sir.
Thank you. Being as that Mr. Freeman has stated false, we're going to take further testimony from our community corrections officer, and then Mr. Freeman will come back to you shortly for a few questions. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Westby, if you will.
On March 15, 2018, the offender was released from ASPC Lewis Unit at TIS status and transported to the Phoenix Parole Office for his initial intake. During intake, the offender read, signed, and received a copy of his conditions of supervision, sex offender conditions, GPS conditions, to include condition number eight that he will not knowingly associate with any person engaged in criminal activity. On April 22, 2018, Peel Films returned a phone call to the offender's girlfriend, Cassidy, as she had called previously. Approximately 11:55 a.m. during the return phone call, Cassidy then stated that while they, her and the offender, were at Walmart on April 21st, and that her hands were full, she had to put a hairbrush in her pocket. Cassidy then put the offender on the telephone. The offender stated that while he and Cassidy were at the Walmart on April 21st, 2018, approximately 20-30 hours, were shopping at the Walmart in Bell, 19th Avenue, and Cassidy started, quote, putting things in her backpack. The offender denied stealing from Walmart and stated that it was only Cassidy. The offender stated that when they were leaving the store, they were approached by five police officers and store security. The offender then stated that Cassidy returned the items without incident. At the time, the offender was directed to report in the parole office for a staffing of the supervisor on April 23, 2018. On April 23, 2018, the offender reported to Elam as directed and was staffed by PO Phelps and Senior Parole Officer Peretta. The offender was questioned regarding his police contact on April 21, 2018 at Walmart located 1825 West Bell Road, Phoenix, Arizona, 85023. The offender was asked if he was aware that Cassidy was stealing from Walmart, and at that point, the offender claimed that he had no idea what she was stealing. However, on April 22, 2018, the offender had disclosed to P.O. Phillips that he was aware the entire time while they were at Walmart that Cassidy was concealing items in her backpack. On April 26, 2018, P.O. Phillips met with Walmart's loss prevention specialist, Officer Buford, and reviewed the video surveillance taken on April 21st, 2018 from the hours of 2011 hours to 2102 hours while the offender and his girlfriend were in Walmart. Additionally, P.O. Phillips obtained a copy of the asset protection case record dated April 21st, 2018. As reviewed, stated that Officer Buford observed the two suspects, Cassidy Curse and offender Freeman, approach the home department with a shopping cart with a backpack in the cart, and both subjects were looking around for cameras. The report stated that per the camera surveillance, the offender and Cassidy selected items such as lubricants, body wash, and personal hygiene items, and moved toward the stationary department. The individuals both looked around for cameras, and Cassidy placed items inside of her backpack. Additionally, the offender would select items from the shelf and place them in the cart. Cassidy would then place them inside of her backpack, surveillance footage in file. Due to the offender's association with others involved in criminal acts and his long past history of burglary and possession of stolen items, a technical violation warrant was requested and issued. The offender has returned to his criminal ways.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Mr. Freeman. What is false about this allegation?
I didn't know the whole time. I never told Mr. Phillips that. The day before, on April 22nd, while he was talking to Cassidy Kersey, I was in the shower. He had requested that she have me call him back. I called him back roughly 30 minutes later. I know it was roughly 30 minutes later because when I get out of the shower, it takes me 30 minutes to do my hair. I've got long hair. If you can see this on the camera, I've got 2.5 feet of hair. So it takes me about 30 minutes to put the stuff in my hair, dry my hair, and then braid it. It's not braided today. So when I called him back, he didn't answer the first time. The second time I called him back, he told me, give me a second, I'll call you right back. I said, yes, sir. I was in my car. When I hung up, I waited. He called me back. I put it on the hands-free device. I was driving to, I believe it was Cassidy's mother's house. When he called me back, I told him exactly what had happened. When we were walking through the store, she was placing stuff in her backpack. I didn't have a clue she was doing it at the time. When we got to the cash register, the self-checkout, I started going through and swiping things on the self-checkout. When I asked her about certain items, such as the hairbrush, which was not in the cart that we had originally went to the store for to buy for her mom, she told me not to worry about it. So I continued to swipe things on things. On the way out the door, I told her, you know what, I have to get that hairbrush. I told your mom I would get the hairbrush. We walked out the door. She said, don't worry about it. I got it in my backpack. That's why I found out about it. We were already on the front door. The cops were already there. That's the exact story I told Mr. Phillips. Mr. Phillips asked me, you didn't know the whole time? I said, no, sir, I found out at the end. He asked me to report the next day. I told him I would be there.
Okay, now I think you've already stated this, but I just want to make sure we're clear on this. It says on April 22nd, 2018, you disclosed to Parole Officer Phillips that you were aware the entire time while you were in Walmart that Cassidy was concealing items under her backpack.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I never.
You didn't do that.
I'm sorry. No, sir. And if I'm correct, there should be a recording of that call. He was calling me to interview me about the incident that happened that he was already previously aware of.
Did you have a follow-up discussion with him face-to-face?
Yes, sir, I did. I had a follow-up discussion with him and the SPO Parada. And I told him the same thing right there at EMU on 16th and Jefferson. I told him while I was in the car.
Okay.
I didn't have, there was no reason for me to tell him that I knew the whole time. I didn't know the whole time. And then there's no point in being to something that wasn't, you know, wasn't true.
Okay, sir, I'm going to take some follow-up information from my community corrections officer, Mr. Westby.
I guess upon reviewing the phone notes, there's a notation from St. Charles or Peretta, and it states that the surveillance footage that was reviewed by P.O. Phillips, the defender was not only aware of the shoplifting that was taking place with Miss Cassidy, but was also partaking in the behavior, and that Cassidy transported the defender to the electronic monitoring unit on that date for that staffing after he had known that she was partaking in criminal behavior.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion for phase one before we pass to phase two, and that is based on the information that's been provided to us in warrant number 2018-W1202. As well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to find Mr. Freeman delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in the criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed. Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Now, Mr. Freeman, as I stated, there's a vote that passes from phase one to phase two, so this hearing is not over. And I also want to take advantage of this time to state that I recognize that Ms. Cassidy Kurse is in the hearing room today.
Yes.
Okay. There will come a time when you will have an opportunity to speak before the board, when you'll be speaking before the board today.
Yes.
Okay. During that time, we'll swear you in. If we had known everyone was speaking at the same time, we usually swear people in at the same time, but we'll just do it when you step to the podium, okay, ma'am? Thank you. Okay, Mr. Freeman, we're going to continue with the second phase of the hearing. It is during the second phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Westby, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information regarding your case. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you shortly for further questions, and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Mr. Westby.
On March 15, 2018, Mr. Freeman was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested April 23, 2018 by ABC staff. There were no new charges. He was back in DOC custody April 23, 2018 with a projected CCD of March 18, 2019, zero abscondes. Current conviction, 2012, sexual exploitation of a minor, 7 years. Also in 2012, aggravated harassment, 1.5 years. Prior convictions, 2002, arson of structure, 2.5 years. 2002, theft, 1 year. 2002, influencing a witness, 1.5 years. 2002, burglary, second degree, 3.5 years. 2002, trafficking in stolen property, 5 years. 2011, 2 counts of aggravated harassment, each for 2 years. This is the second term of DOC, CUIR score 4.4. Mental health score 3, substance abuse score 2. STG gang information notes, he's an admitted member of the KKK and the Aryan Brotherhood STG suspect. He has a prior term of supervision, 2010, TIS release, arrested on tech violation, revoked by the BOEC. His disciplinary violations are significant with drugs, threats, weapons, and assault on staff noted. Other arrests. 1998, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile probation. 1999, simple assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 1999, burglary first degree, Arizona juvenile detention. 1999, stolen property, juvenile detention. 1999, misconduct involving weapons, juvenile detention. 2005, aggravated assault, juvenile probation. 2011, assault, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G7B9. He is a level 3 sex offender, registerable, notifiable, not SVP reviewable.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Mr. Freeman. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections. You obtained residence at Budget Lodge, 8617 North Rock Canyon Highway, number 117, Phoenix, Arizona. On April 17, 2018, you changed your residence to an extended stay motel on North Rock Canyon Highway. While on supervision, you never reported any other verifiable residence to your supervising officer. So, was the last hotel where you were living before you were arrested, sir?
It was the extended suites off of Bellman Freeway. I had an address put in from the day I got out, and Mr. Schultz never got around to approving it.
Which address would that be, sir?
17031 North 11th Avenue. It would have been with Michelle Kersey.
I see. And did you live there before you were arrested?
No, sir. I lived up in Prescott before I was arrested. However, due to an incident with my parole officer and my mother, who I was living with at the time, was at the parole office, the parole officer would not let me parole up to Prescott again.
Okay. So, where were you living, when you were arrested by parole staff? Where were you living?
I was living at the Extended Suites Motel off of Bell and the Freeway.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure of that. Thank you. I wanted to be clear. We have employment notes that you did not report any verifiable employment during your community supervision, so were you working at all, sir?
No. I was refused employment on three occasions by Mr. Phillips, and he would not let me work day labor.
For programming notes that you were assigned a task for drug screening, you were assigned to the color mint. Due to your inability to urinate, you have provided the following buccal saliva samples. March 19, 2018, you were negative. April 17, 2018, you were negative. You were referred to sex offender treatment programming. However, you did not enroll nor participate in any of the required programming. You were reminded on multiple occasions to enroll and stated that you lost the paper. You were provided with programming information. Sanctions notes, on April 23, 2018, you're going to EMU as directed. Were staffed by SPO Beretta and SPO Phillips for your involvement with Cassidy and the shoplifting per the warrant. According to sanctions notes, you were not honest in regards to whether or not you knew Cassidy was shoplifting or participated with the selection of the items. You were not consistent with the story stating that you were aware at one point and then stated you were not. Surveillance footage reviewed by Peel Phillips looked like you were not only aware but partaking in the behavior. And again, as stated in the sanctions notes, due to your lengthy criminal history involving trafficking of stolen property and theft, you were violated. So this is a one allegation warrant. And what we're confronted with is information from your parole officers that your information was not consistent regarding this shoplifting incident. So would you like to add anything about that?
I told you guys exactly what I told them.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Have no questions from fellow board members. Mr. Freeman, it is at this point of the hearing that we will ask if any of your supporters wish to speak before the board. Let me ask, because we have many people in the hearing room today, are there any other supporters in the room today? So Ms., is it Kersey or Kersey?
Kersey.
Ms. Kersey, would you like to approach the podium? And if you could state your name.
My name is Cassidy Kersey.
And I need to swear you in, so I'm going to go back to my original document and ask, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, so you affirm?
Yes.
Thank you. And what would you like to share with the board today, ma'am?
I just want to share the fact that I was here throughout the whole thing, and it was a mistake on my part, all my part. And I shouldn't have done it. It was a childish thing to do. He didn't know. He was looking to grab more stuff to put in the cart for us to buy. And I got scared. I never had to worry about money until now. So I got scared and I did something stupid and it cost him his freedom. It was my fault altogether. And whatever you guys do decide today, I mean, it's all up to you. But I just want you guys to know it was my fault, not his.
Well, thank you for being so candid with the board today, Ms. Kersey. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, she said that you never had to worry about money until now. What does that mean?
My aunt is she's not very rich, but she's rich, and she's always taking care of me.
Uh-huh.
And then she kind of was just like, all right, you're on your own. So I got kicked out, and I've been struggling keeping a job and with money and everything like that.
So why did she kick you out?
She kicked me out because I wasn't cleaning enough at the house. I wasn't pulling enough chores. She was just tired of me.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, Mr. Wu.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, you said that, you know, it was all you and that he didn't know anything about it. How do you explain that the video shows both of you partaking in this activity? I mean, there's a video that totally shows that, and there's at least three people who reviewed it, and that's where this came from, the allegation.
I haven't seen the video. I don't know what the video is. I just know that he wasn't partaking in it. Okay. He didn't know I had stuff in my bag until I told him as we were walking out the door.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions from fellow board members?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Dr. C.T. Ray.
When did you actually tell him that you had taken those items? Didn't you say when you were walking out the door, so...
We were in, you know how in Walmart's, they have like one door and then another door. And they have like, I don't know how to explain it. So they have like your first sliding door. We were walking through the first sliding door and then onto the second one is when I told him not to worry about it. And I had it.
So why did you tell him that?
Because he was going to go back and buy one, and if I already had one, why go buy one? It's
had he been or had you been approached by officers or by security at...
At that exact time?
Yes. So nobody knew that... So according to you, nobody knew that something had been taken?
Yes.
At that time?
Yes.
The store people didn't know it. When I said the store people, you know, they always have some security people. I don't know what they call them. Security people there at the store. Then sometime, I think, later they might call, you know, police officers or sheriff's officers. And you were saying at that point that nobody knew that something had been taken, a brush or whatever it was.
I didn't know that anybody had known. Because as we walked out, officers approached us and telling me that they knew that I had stuff in my bag.
So you didn't know that you had something in your bag?
No, I knew I had stuff in my bag. I was the only one at that point until I told him, and then the officers came up to me, and I handed my bag over immediately.
And so he was going back in to pay for it after y'all had gotten out to the first door on your way to the second door?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Honorable Dr. Wright. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, that's what I'm going to be clear. You said that when you said and told him not to worry about it, you were on the way out the store in between the two doors, like when you go into Walmart, mm-hmm. You were in between there?
Yeah.
Okay, because the reason I'm asking you, because of, he just stated that...
when you were walking out the doors.
No, he stated that he was going through the checkout thing, and he was picking the things up, and he noticed that he didn't have the brush, and he asked you about the brush, and you told him at that point not to worry about it. Yeah. He said the reason that he asked you at that point not to worry about it, because he had promised your mom or somebody that he was going to get the brush. But he just said that it was at the checkout stand when you told him that. He said that he was taking the thing out of the basket, and he noticed that when he was taking them out of the basket that some of the items wasn't there. I mean, that's different than what you're saying.
Yeah, but see, I listened to what he said, and which happened. He asked me at the checkout where the brush was, and I said not to worry about it. He didn't worry about it. He continued to check out. We were walking to the door. I told him, he asked again, oh, maybe I should go get the brush. I told her I'd get the brush. I said not to worry about it as we were walking out the doors because I had it in my bag. And then we got stopped by cops as we walked through the second door.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Colton, sir. Yes, sir, Ms. Rubinos.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Canales. So you said you had stuff in your bag.
Yeah.
What else was there besides a hairbrush?
I had some soap. I honestly don't remember that much. There was a hairbrush. There was some soap. There was some pens.
In the backpack?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Ms. Rubinos. Any further questions? Okay, well, thank you for appearing before the board, Ms. Kersey.
You
can return to your seat. Okay, Mr. Freeman, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't share anything that you've already told the board, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel that is important to say before we go into discussion?
Yes, I have a bank statement that proves that I went in there that night to buy things. You know, I didn't go in there to steal anything. I have a bank statement proving that on the joint account I have with Ms. Kersey, I had the money to pay for everything. And on the way out the door, when the cops stopped her, they started to lead her away. I went to walk with them. The cops dismissed me and told me not to go with them. And I told them, no, that's my pregnant fiance. Or she goes, I go. And that's when they brought me with them. I wasn't even a suspect at the time.
Is that your final statement, Mr. Friedman?
I mean, yeah, that's really all I have to say. I appreciate you guys' time.
Thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, especially because you can hear us deliberate, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself. Before we come to our individual votes under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an unfortunate case, and I think it's important to point out that the violation in which the warrant was written was by him knowingly associating with an individual as they removed merchandise from a Walmart. So then knowingly associating with someone involved in a criminal activity. And to be direct, I don't know what is in the heart or mind of Mr. Friedman. I'm always sensitive about what's being shared with us by the individual in the system, but at the same time, I have to take what's put before me as an individual voting board member at face value, and I'm, for the lack of better words, I'm just finding some holes in this story, especially as to when Mr. Friedman was aware of the fact that there had been shoplifting to the time that there was contact from the police, combined with the information that was gathered in the surveillance footage. And at this point, I'm not finding Mr. Friedman suitable for returning to community supervision, but I am certainly open to the dialogue of my colleagues. Yes, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. I would just add that he appears to not have been participating in his own supervision by not participating in the substance of the sex offender treatment as well, and has a former revocation from a community supervision grant as well for a technical violation. So just because of an inability to comply with the rules, I think might be would support my decision.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. Any further discussion? Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is, in this phase two, based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018-W1202, our discussion with Mr. Friedman, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Friedman was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, I made the motion. Seconded by Mr. Neal and agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Friedman, your supervision has been revoked, and you will be released on or about what looks to be March 18, 2019. I recognize that that is several months down the road, and I do not make light of this, but it's months, not years. We highly encourage you to take advantage of the remainder of your prison sentence to concentrate on programming and to put together a plan for your safe return to the community. We do issue a safe and successful return. And we hope not to see you before this board again in Orange. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. And we'd appreciate it if you give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, Mr. Freeman, and thank you for appearing before this board today.
I love you, Jesse.